Good morning. Can we all stand? Would you turn to someone around you, tell them it's good to see them here this morning.
You are Alpha and Omega.
You are Alpha and Omega.
You're the beginning and the end.
Beginning and the end.
You're the
When the darkness falls, it won't breathe in. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail.
I'm the seeker.
Turn it for good. For that divine exchange. He took our hurts and he gave us healing. Took our sins and gave us salvation. It's the best exchange that we can ever be a part of. Amen. You can be seated at this time. Thank you for worshiping with us. We appreciate each and every one of you being here with us on a Sunday morning. I have just a few announcements. Next Sunday, Easter Sunday, we will be starting Sunday school back for our kids. Woohoo! We're excited about that. We miss our time with our kids, so we're very excited to see them again. Nursery through preschool will be in the hobby room back here when you come through the gym doors to your right. And then kinder through fifth grade will be upstairs in the youth room. We're excited about that. Our next announcement, Alliance Youth Retreat. That will be April the 16th through the 18th. You're not going to want to miss that. It's going to be, I truly feel it's going to be a life-changing, life-transforming weekend for our students. We have Brother A.J. Holloway going to be ministering to us. We're very excited and stoked about that. It's $100 per student. The deadline to sign up is today, and we were supposed to have the money in today, but it kind of crept up on me. So I'm going to extend that until Wednesday. So if you, if you've signed up or if you haven't, you want to sign up, we're asking that you make that payment by Wednesday. If you cannot make it, we totally understand. We have sponsors that are willing to pay for students to go. Parents, please do not let your children miss out on this weekend due to financial reasons. We're not going to broadcast that you had to be sponsored. I had to be sponsored growing up. I wouldn't have been able to go to youth retreat or camps without sponsors, and I'm thankful for the people that stepped out and sponsored me to go, because the Lord truly did things in my life that I look back on now, and they're pillars in my walk with God. So please, 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 if you need a sponsor, just come see me or pastor, and we'll get that taken care of. Our next announcement is Church in a Day. That will be May the 14th through the 15th in Hesmer, Louisiana. And there's more information in the foyer if you're interested in that. Our ushers can come forward at this time. Our final announcement, we have the Alliance Envelope Raffle, and that's going to go towards NAYC. We ask that you, if you've taken an envelope or if you take one this morning, that you would just turn that back in by Wednesday so that we can get a count and we can get our raffle ready to draw for our two prizes. I'm sure that you have noticed Pastor is not here this morning. Everything is fine. Nobody's sick. Everything's okay. He has just been asked to come and minister in North Little Rock, so that's where he is. He was there yesterday ministering and then again today. They will be back Wednesday, Lord willing, but he wanted me to assure you that everything's okay. We have Brother AJ Holloway going to come and give us a word after the offering. We're very excited about that. He always does a phenomenal job. You're not going to regret being in the house of the Lord this morning and hearing a word. We have a few prayer requests. Jake and Macy Pruitt and their daughter need our prayers this morning. Duke and Leona Hollingsworth, and then Steve and Janet Maddox need our prayers. So we're asking that you would remember those in prayer this week. And then at this time, our ushers are going to take the offering. Be blessed as you give.
Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Can we worship Him for just a few more moments with hands raised? Can you lift up your voices unto heaven? The Lord is a champion, and we're here today to show him that with our praise. The Bible says to offer up the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of your lips. So open up your mouth right now. Let him know. The highest part of you right now comes from your mouth. When you can exalt him with your praise, the Lord loves it. That's what we were created for. We were created for communication, not just with one another, but with him. So let's communicate with him right now. God, Lord, I love you, Jesus. I praise Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you remain standing, I'm so thankful to be here this morning. I'm thankful to be able to stand in your pastor's place. Could never do that. Some big shoes to fill. But I'm thankful for the opportunity that he can go and minister and I can come and minister. It's the way the body works, and I'm thankful for the body of Christ. I honor each and every one of you for being here today. Thank you, worship team. Thank you for coming to the house of God on a Sunday. You could obviously do anything else, but I figure since he carried a cross for my wretched sins, I can come to church. And I mean that with every bit of sarcasm that I can conjure up. Praise God. Praise God. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?' Elisha said, 'Please let a double portion of your spirits be upon me.' So he said, 'You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Set your eyes on me,' is what he's saying. Then it happened as they continued on and talked, and suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, 'My father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen.' So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces," because what he was wearing at this moment could not be worn going forward and where God was taking him. "So he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and he struck the water and said, 'Where is the Lord God of Elijah?' And when he had also struck the water," watch what happens. What Elijah did, he did because of what he was wearing. Amen. He had to take off what he had been wearing. He had to put on something new. And when he put on something new, he was able to do what somebody else did, because he had all he had asked is, "I want your spirit on me. I want to minister today. In fact, I want to preach today, if that's all right. I want to preach the coat of a champion." We are wearing the coat of a champion, and you need to realize who you are. You need to realize what you're filled with. You need to realize who is in the room right now. We're not just a bunch of random people that decided to come and check something off of a Sunday list. I can't speak on behalf of any of you, but I can speak on behalf of myself. I am eat up with this thing. I am absolutely passionate about this. I am so thankful that the Lord saw fit to come and fall upon me December 6th, 1996, and he filled me with his spirit, and he has been working on me ever since. I would not be here today if it weren't for the Holy Ghost. I have contemplated suicide in my past. I have gone through things, and the Holy Ghost was there the entire time. So with the presence of God in this room, let's recognize him. There's no greater faith than just recognizing the unseen. When you open up your mouth and you lift up your hands to someone you have never laid eyes on, that is the mustard seed of faith right there. So go ahead, extend your faith. Talk to a God you've never laid eyes on, like he's standing in the room. And the Lord will begin to stir up that faith. And where there's faith, there will be Holy Ghost in feelings. There will be the miraculous. All because we have stretched forth our hands with faith. We have faith in a pandemic we've never seen. So let's put our faith in a God we've never seen. We put a mask on our face by faith. Let's lift up our hands by faith. God Almighty. Lord, I will not let the angels worship you alone. Lord, those angels that gather around the throne and they cry, "Holy, holy, holy," I will do the same today, Jesus. Holy God Almighty, I'm here to praise you, Jesus, for you are worthy of it all. In the precious name of God, I praise. Give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. There was this particular clothing trend that I vividly remember when I was an 11-year-old boy. And maybe everyone in here that was born before 1990, you might remember this as well. Does anybody remember the starter jacket? Brother Ryan Ware, I see my best friend back there. So good to see you. Do you remember the starter jacket? You probably had one. You were one of those guys that I wanted to hang out with. There was a cool kids that had the starter jackets. These puffy jackets would bear the logo and the colors of your favorite sports team. I remember getting my very own starter jacket in the winter of 1996. It was at the top of my Christmas list that year. And early in December, my parents, my dad was a pastor, we would have a Christmas banquet for our church. He would let us open one gift early. And my dad let me open one particular gift because he knew we don't get a lot of days that are cold in Louisiana. And this was, if you've ever seen a starter jacket, this you could wear this in the Antarctica and be just fine. So he knew, he's like, I'm better let him, this is a particularly cold night. It was in the low 50s. So I better let him open this now before we don't have any more days where he can wear it. So they presented me with this big box and I tore into that thing. And I tore into that bright green and red Christmas wrapping paper, revealing a white box that was embossed on top with the Dillard's logo. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? You remember the big white boxes they gave you, and it had the Dillard's logo embossed on the lid. And I opened it up, and when I saw that Dillard's logo, son, I knew. This is either a jacket or 14 pairs of socks, and it's got the weight of a jacket. So I began to tear it open and anticipation began to arise within me. And as I lifted up that embossed Dillard's box, to my surprise and to my delight, all of my suspicions were correct. Standing before me, laying in that box, was a bright green, outlandish bright green and yellow starter jacket. It was bearing the logo of my favorite team at 11 years old, the Green Bay Packers. It was one of those items that any 11-year-old would dream about because everyone in my school had a starter jacket. And this was my favorite team. And boy, I shot one arm through one sleeve and I shot my other arm through the other sleeve. And if you know anything about starter jackets, you know that the crest upon that jacket that let everybody else know that it was a legit starter jacket was that zipper. You know what I'm talking about. That zipper was that big. And you would zip that thing up and you would make it land right here. And you'd let everybody see that starter logo. It was a big S and a star. And everybody knew you had the real deal. You see, in 1996, these particular jackets went for about $150. And as an 11-year-old boy, this was the real deal. So I showed off that star. I wanted everybody to see the brand on that jacket. And I wore that thing even when it was hot outside because not everybody gets a starter jacket. I could not wait to wear that outlandish yellow and green jacket that added at least 20 pounds to my overall physique. I wanted everybody to see it because I was wearing the coats of a champion. Without that name brand logo, it was just an outlandish jacket. But with that logo standing in front of everybody, they knew he has a real starter jacket. There was just something about it, though, that took place on January 26, 2007, not long after Christmas, 1 month later, because the Packers would go to the Super Bowl and ultimately win a championship. And you see, there's something about it when you go to school, not just wearing a coat that bears the logo of a company that is legitimate, but there's something also unique about going to school on a following week and you're wearing the coats of champions. I wanted everybody to see that I believe that I was a young prophet, to be honest with you, because I got the jacket before they won the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl because of me, just so you know. Just want everything, I want it to be clear, I want it to be known today. But I went to school and there was something about the jacket before when it just bore the logo. But when I wore it to school, it was not just the real jacket, but it was the coat of a champion. There was something about this boy that walked into school. I had a certain air about me. I had a certain, and the word swagger wasn't invented yet at that point in time, but I had a certain swag about me because I had the coat of a champion on my shoulders. And in somewhat similar fashion, it was on a normal afternoon where two men are walking one day. And they're walking together on their way to the Jordan River. The word Jordan in Hebrew literally means to descend upon. And I believe that it was divine and ordered of God for these two men to cross through a river called to descend upon, as something was about to take place at that particular time and era of the Bible. You see, there was a man named Elijah who was wearing a coat. And he takes this coat off and he rolls it up, the Bible says, and he walks to a river called to descend upon. And he takes this coat and he strikes the waters, and the waters immediately split. This was an outlandish jacket made of camel's hair, holding it to his body with an outlandish leather belt. There was no beauty, there was no comeliness found in this jacket. This was truly an outlandish jacket. And instead of a team logo or a brand, it had on it the remnants of miracles from years gone by. Elijah would be wearing this coat during 14 miracles recorded through 1 and 2 Kings. Miracles such as causing there to be no rain for 3.5 years when the prophet said so. He resurrected a boy who had died while wearing this coat. He also caused rain to fall after he prophesied it wouldn't for 3.5 years. As he's wearing this coat, he goes outside and he looks at the sky and he says, "It's time to rain," and rain began to fall. He then called fire from heaven because he's more capable than just rain, because he was wearing what God had put upon him. He speaks to the sky and fire begins to fall. Not on one occasion, not on two occasions, but he was a three-peater. He could go to multiple championships and win every time. And this is just naming a few. Elijah is now, though, at this point in our reading, at the sunset of his ministry. When he removes this coat that was laden with miracles, and with a swift strike, this champion strikes waters and they part. This mantle and prophet would see their final miracle together as the Jordan River miraculously splits in half. Elijah and the young and ambitious Elisha cross over the same river that their forefathers had crossed over when going into the promised land. And they did it for them, they thought, so it should sure enough happen for us. If God parted the waters back then, he'll part the waters today. Why do we know that? Because our scripture says he does not change. So if he did it then, he'll do it now. And sure enough, he parts these waters, they split, and they see at that very moment the God that was for their fathers is also for them. The waters part, and yet another miracle is added to the mantle. And Elisha, at this moment, is looking at his protege thinking, if I could just be like this champion, if I could just go into the school of prophets wearing what he was wearing. Because our entire journey here up until this point, I've had prophet after prophet look at my mentor and they've looked upon his mantle, they've looked upon his coat, and they knew that I get to follow a champion. Today, things could be different. So Elijah asks his protege, he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" He looks at him, he says, "I want what is on you to be on me." He tells him that in verse 9. He says, "Whatever spirit's on you, put it on me." It's interesting that he asks the specific Hebrew word for spirit. He says, "Whatever ruach is on you, put that thing on me. I need whatever you have, because everything you've done, I must do double." There is a tenacity that has to come upon us. Just like Elisha, where he looks at him and he says, 14's not enough. I would like to see double that. Because every generation that goes forward, we should see multiplication of what we've already seen. Not for the sake of counting, not for the sake of bragging, just for the sake of showing that the spirit still falls and champions still live. Elisha had this one request: whatever's on you, put it on me. He says, "Well, you've asked a hard thing. However, if you can keep your eyes on the champion, if you can keep an eye on where I'm going, I'll word it to you this way. If you can set your eyes above and not on all of this around you, then maybe, just maybe, if you can set your affection on things above and not on things of this world, then you can have the double. However, Elisha, you will never see what I have seen if you keep looking at what you're looking at." Well, let me word it in 2021 vernacular. You will not see the miraculous watching the government. I got the response I expected it would get. It's hard to see miracles when we're focused on a pandemic. It's hard to see life when you're focused on death. It's hard to see revelation when our eyes are not looking at the Word. Set your affections on things above, Elisha. And when you watch and you see the fire, then you can get what's on me. But you cannot get what's on me. This is why he had to pray multiple times. Lord, open his eyes and let him see that there are far more with us than are with them. Elijah had already prayed this prayer at multiple points. And he's looking at him and he says, today's the final test. I need to see if your eyes are right. Set your eyes up. And finally, we see that this young man is getting the revelation because the whole time he's looking up. I don't want to miss what's coming. I don't want to miss what I can have an opportunity to live in. I don't want to miss that spirit that's coming down. I am already at the descending place. I'm at a place where things fall. So if things are falling from above, don't let me look down. Let me look up where they're coming from. I don't want to look anywhere else. Let me set my eyes on the heavenlies. And sure enough, he set his eyes on heaven. And when he watched, he saw his mentor, this champion, go up in a chariot of fire. It all followed by a wind that was blowing through that place. And then fire took him up. It's important that we pay attention to, in the scriptures, the elements that are at play here. There was fire and there was wind. Because as every time something significant happens, at this point, they've already told stories of how Moses went up to a mountain that was on fire. And the wind of God came out of it. And in the Bible, it says that they saw kolot, is the Hebrew word. They saw languages coming down in the fire is what it says in Hebrew. They saw languages coming down in the fire. And when they saw those languages, God spoke to Moses and says, come on up. And the Bible says in Hebrew that Moses opened his mouth and out came the evidence of a voice. If you want to read it in Hebrew, go try. But it's what it literally says. He opened his mouth, out came a voice, and he walked through fire. And right here, wind and fire stirring up again. And there's a young man with his eyes set on heaven. And what descends down but a mantle? He grabs that mantle. He cleaves to it. And he says, I've gotten the coat of a champion. Things will be different now. This fearful young Elisha looks up, and coming down is the coat of his mentor, this champion. He grabs it with curiosity in his mind. Did I get the double portion? Only one way to find out. I'm not going to take this coat and just hoard it up. I'm not going to take this coat and hide it under a bushel. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take this coat and see if I got what he had. So he had to test the coat. He took that coat and he said, last thing I saw the champion do is he rolled it up. So Elisha rolls up the thing that he got and he walks to the same river. He said, the last miracle I saw was he struck the waters. So Elisha cries out unto heaven and he rolls that coat up and he strikes the water. And to his faithful delight, waters part. And he knew immediately. He says, I've got the spirit that was on him. It is on me. I got it because he told me to look up. I looked up. I didn't look at anything around me. The spirit that was on the champion is now on me. It didn't have anything to do with the coat. It didn't have anything to do with that mantle. It had everything to do with the man. There was something different about him because listen to what the world now says. There's got to be something that happens to a spirit-filled believer, a disciple of Jesus. And this is what was happening to him in 2 Kings 2:15. It says, now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. There is something different about him. He has changed. He is never going to be the same. Whatever was on the champion is now on the protege. He is no longer the protege. He himself is the champion. There's got to be something that happens to us that when we get filled with the Spirit, we start trying the Spirit. We need to start exercising the Spirit. We need to start walking in the Spirit. That's why Paul says in Galatians, he says, walk not according to the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. We need to walk in this thing. We need to test this thing. Why would I have beautiful clothes if I never wear them? Why would I not put on what's been given to me? This particular jacket was given to me by a man in Arkansas just a couple weeks ago. He said, hey, I've got some coats that I have outgrown because I've gained a few. And he said, but I think they'll fit you. So why would I just put this in my closet? I'm going to wear this coat. I'm wearing the coat that was given to me. I did nothing to earn this coat. I did nothing to deserve this coat. He just said, I want to give it to you. And it would be a disgrace to not wear the thing that has been given to me freely. This man, there was something about wearing the coat of a champion. This Elisha walks out. And from that moment, we see in the life of Elisha 28 miracles, exactly double of that of Elijah. He fills a valley with water at the spoken word. He heals a leper. He multiplies food and oil, and it does not stop. He restores the sight of a Syrian army. He even performed a miracle as a dead man. When someone tossed that dead body onto his bones, that dead body came back to life. Elisha was performing miracles while he was dead. Only in the spirits can you perform miracles when you're no longer alive. Only in the spirit can you walk in such a way. And tonight, today, there is something that has already descended. You realize that today we are celebrating the day where Jesus rode into a city, not as someone who was lowly. He was lowly, but in the heavenly realm, he was sitting on high. He rode in and he said, I don't even have to open my mouth. I don't have to unsheathe the sword. I don't have to argue. Don't have to fight. Why? I've already seen the end. I have won. Are you convinced of that? That we're living for a God that is victorious? Here's the problem. We don't think he's victorious because of problems. We have defined God by what we go through. And God is trying to define us by what we go through. But what we're doing is we're defining a God. You can't be a champion because if you were, bad things wouldn't happen. That's a lie from hell. Bad things happen because God trusts good people. Jesus was a champion when he went to a cross and died, by the way. And all the world looked and said, oh, if you're a champion, why don't you call down angels to come and rescue you from this cross? And Jesus didn't open his mouth. He's like, why am I going to argue with you? I've already won. I'm not going to argue. I could call down 12 legions of angels right now, he said, but I don't have to. I can hold them back and say, no, I don't need you to come rescue me. I've already won. I don't need any help. I have already been victorious. Are you sure, Jesus? Do you need my help? Well, the last guy who said, hey, whoa, the Ark of the Covenant hit a bump in the road. Let me reach out and help it. Remember that guy in the Old Testament? His name was Uzziah. You know what the Hebrew word for Uzziah is? Strength. Strength reached out his little hand and touched the Ark and said, let me help you, Lord. I see you're rocking a little bit on this cart. And Strength reaches out his hand and God says, Strength, I don't need you. And Strength, what happened to him? Bible quiz. Strength fell dead. And so David comes along and he says, oh, good Lord. If Strength can't get the presence of God back when it hits a bump in the road, what in the world can I do? Oh, yeah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That'll hit harder later on, I promise you. Later when you're drinking your coffee, that's going to just hit you like a ton of bricks. In the winter of 1998, the Green Bay Packers were yet again going to another Super Bowl, this time against the Denver Broncos to defend their claim as champions. There was a new champion. The Denver Broncos had won the Super Bowl 32, thus making my Green Bay Packers jacket fun to talk about, but nonetheless a thing of the past. And in like fashion, Elisha's coat was getting ready to go out of style. Because there's something that's going to pass away in order for another champion to come along. And in 28 AD, there was a man named John who was at the same river. He was at the Jordan, at the descending place. And the Bible says in Matthew 3:4 that he was wearing the same jacket that was passed down from Elisha. From Elijah to Elisha to John the Baptist. He's sitting there, he's wearing this brown coat with a leather belt. In fact, all the Pharisees looked and said, are you Elijah? You look just like him. He was seeing the spirit that was upon him. And Bible scholars believe that it had been handed down to John through his father, Zechariah. And John had gotten it, and he was wearing the coat of a former champion. And much like Elijah and Elisha in 2 Kings, John and Jesus are now at the same river. And this time, we see something unique take place. Same stadium, same players, same jerseys, Except this time, John is the defending champion from the Old Testament, and then there's a New Testament contender coming onto the scene. This man named Jesus, and he says, today I'm going to get the title, John. And John looks at him and says, there's no way I can beat him. I can't even bend over and untie his shoes. I'm not even worthy to take his cleats off. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to go ahead and decrease now. There's no point in even getting on the field with this man. So I'm just going to hand the title over. There's no way I can compete against him. No way I'm going to be arrogant enough to try. So John goes, he says, look, I'm not even worthy to baptize you. And John says, go ahead, or Jesus says, go ahead, baptize me. He baptizes Jesus, and the last thing we ever saw was the mantle baptizing the new covenant. And when we look up, because that's a key theme in the Bible, is looking up, we don't see a coat coming down anymore. In fact, the words that are mentioned there, quote verbatim, Genesis 1. It does not say dove. It says that something came fluttering down upon the waters. Well, where have we seen that before? In Genesis 1, where the Spirit of God, the Ruach of God, by the way, it comes down like a wind and it comes fluttering over deep waters. And it's looking for something to descend upon. And right there, we no longer see coats of champions anymore. We're seeing a wind of doctrine now following. And it falls upon Jesus and Jesus comes out. The waters, literally, the Bible says the waters didn't split. The sky split in half. Because now, no longer the descending place is splitting, but the sending place is what's splitting. And heaven's opened up, and God looks up and he hears a voice from heaven, and he says, this is the new way. This is the one you're going to want to follow. Now, this is the new champion. So when Jesus came up out of the Jordan, instead of a coat coming down, we're seeing something fluttering down upon him. There was a new champion, and he never even put on a cleat, never took up a ball, didn't do anything. He just showed up. How many Super Bowls have you watched where one team just shows up and the other team says, not a chance? We're not even going to step foot on the field. There's just no way. And that's exactly what is taking place right here. Jesus didn't have to do a thing. He was already victorious. And this new champion goes forward. And the first thing that he does, he says, I'm going to the wilderness. And I'm going to get done in 40 days, which you couldn't do in 40 years. And I'm going to do it in 40 days. And everything that the devil did was tempted him with comfort. Let me tempt his flesh with comfort. And Jesus said, do you know what I'm wearing? Do you know who you're tempting? You're not tempting this flesh. You're tempting the spirit. And that's why he says, don't try the spirits. Don't test me. I have already won. And the Bible shows in that context that he was overcoming the world, is what it says in the Greek. He would later go to his disciples after he was victorious in the wilderness. And he would look at his followers and say, hey, in this world, you're going to have some problems, but be of good cheer. I'm the champion. And I did it starving. Who can beat the devil while never eating a single piece of food? Who can beat the devil when weak in the flesh? Who could defeat the adversary with no strength in his body? He comes out. He overcomes temptation while in the wilderness. He resurrects the dead. He heals lepers. He opens blind eyes, unstops deaf ears. He corrects withered limbs, causes the lame to walk, the mute to talk. He multiplies food. He loves the unlovable. He sat with sinners. He explained the Bible. He even performed a miracle as a dead man. Oh, I don't know if you're following this. As a dead man, he said, who's going to throw themselves on me and live? Who's going to throw themselves upon this dead body and resurrect? What the problem today is, do we throw ourselves anymore? No, we like to hold on to ourselves. The success of the starter company was the fact that the owner, David Beckerman, wanted to make available to the masses the coats of a champion. He looked and he said, I don't want these coats just being worn on the sidelines. I want everybody in every city across America to be able to wear the coat of a champion. So let's mass produce the coats. I'm not satisfied with coaches and players wearing these things. Let's make everybody have access to them. And John said that this champion named Jesus overcame the temptation of our adversary. He loved the unlovable, performed so many miracles that not all the books and all the world could contain them, John said. He even overcame death. But listen to what he says in John 14:12. He says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This champion didn't want to be an MVP. He wanted everybody to be an MVP. He said, I want you to partner with me. That has always been my goal since Genesis. I didn't just create everything. I created man, because the Bible says, you can go home and read it in Genesis 2. He looked and said, there is no man to water the field. So he caused a stream to cover the ground, and he forms his image in dirt. And he breathes into him, hear this, his ruach, into the lungs of man. And he became a living soul. And man resurrected. He said, now you go and manage what I made. Partner with me. And this is what he's doing in this context. He said, I came and showed you my life. What we have a problem of in Pentecost is we talk too much, or not too much. We talk a lot about the death, the burial, the resurrection, which took place in 3 days. And we ignore what he did for 3 years. What happens in those 3 days is what gives us access to what he did for 3 years. When you're filled with the Spirit, you can go and love the unlovable. When you're filled with the Spirit, you can go and sit with a sinner and not worry about what anybody thinks of you. When you're filled with the Spirit, you can lay hands on the sick and they recover. Not so you can show off the power of healing, but so that you can preach to the healed the gospel. That's the point of wearing the coat of a champion. And Jesus said, I don't want to be the only one doing this, because I'm looking in the future. There's going to be 8 billion people on the planet, and we're going to need a lot of coats. We're going to need a lot of champions. Let's reproduce this thing. I'm not here to be an MVP. So guys, you 11 guys that are left, I need you to go to an upper room. I need you to go and wait, because I'm getting ready to produce this thing in mass quantities. So they go up in Acts 2. And the Bible tells us that the same elements that were there for Elijah and Elisha was there in the upper room. Because it tells us in Acts 2, it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. If they had not had their eyes set on high, I believe they would have missed it. But they weren't looking around at what was going on. They weren't looking around at Caesar. They weren't looking around at Herod. They weren't looking around at the fact that John died, Jesus died. They had started to finally move beyond that. They had been with the resurrected Jesus for the past 40 days, and they had now spent time with him, and they sat for 10 days just looking on high, waiting on something to fall. And finally, that particular day, the same elements that took place in 2 Kings 2 happens here, because it said they heard a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Pause. Why was there a wind? Because Jesus told him in John 3, he says this specifically. He says, look around you. You can't see the wind, can you? You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes. The only way you know the evidence of the wind is by the sound you hear thereof. And then Jesus goes a step further and he says, so it is of everyone that is born of the Spirit. He was talking about the word ruach, that wind that he blew into Adam. By the way, when you read it in Hebrew, he says he breathed his spirit into his lungs, past his throat. The word nephesh in Hebrew is throat. And God Almighty in Genesis 2, to make a man alive, he decides to breathe his spirit into the throat. You think that's significant or what? He said, you know what? To make this man live, let me put my spirit in his throat. And that's the English word soul. I don't know why they said soul. It's the literal Hebrew word. Nephesh is throat. And that same thing, look what happens. What happened in Genesis 2, what took place in 2 Kings 2, what was taking place all throughout the Bible, what took place in Exodus 8 or Exodus 19 when Moses was at that burning mountain and he saw languages coming down. It all comes to a head right here. And at this point, we'd only seen MVPs. We had seen Adam as an MVP. We had saw Moses as an MVP, Elijah and Elisha as an MVP. And this time, he's about to have 120 MVPs. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, languages is the word there, as of fire. And one sat upon each of them, each of them, each of them, each of them. I know that we hear this a lot, that the gifts of the Spirit, it's tongues and interpretation. By the way, there's 7 Greek words for gift. And those are 2 completely different Greek words used here, and the one is 2 Corinthians 12. So that's a moot argument. And those people that would say, well, this is just a gift for some, then why did all 120 do it? If this was a gift for a few, then why did it sit on each of them? If it was just a few to operate in a gift, then not all of them would have done it. But it says it descended upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then he said 120 MVPs is good, but I think 3,000 would be better. Why is that so significant? Because in Exodus 24, when Moses comes down that mountain on the day of Pentecost of all days, he comes down and he sees 3,000 people in sin and they all die because of their sin. And on this day of Pentecost, to cost 3,000 people live because they died to their sins. You can't make this up. I don't know. I can't explain to you how from Exodus 19 through 24 to Acts 2, which was over 4,000 years, how they could line it up so perfectly, even with the numbers. You tell me. It was either a perfect coincidence or wholly divine. All I know is that it repeats itself over and over and over and over. Do you know why I am eat up with this message? Was because 3 years ago I doubted this message, because all of the churches told me, just go and plead the blood over your kids and they'll be safe. Well, I did that and my kid wasn't safe. My son passed away. So you know what I did? I doubted everything. So you know what I did? I went to college. I started learning Hebrew. I started learning Greek. Started learning Aramaic. And I said, God, I don't want to hear it from a Pentecostal. I want to hear it directly from your word. I can prove to you the infilling of the Holy Ghost in Genesis 2. I can prove it to you in Deuteronomy 19. I can prove it to you in Exodus 19. I can prove it to you in Exodus 24. I can prove it to you in Numbers. I can prove it to you in the tabernacle. I can show it to you plain as day. But why do we need all that evidence? Because it tells us clearly in Acts 2 what would happen to those that would just die to their sins. He said, I will put upon you the coat of a champion. The problem today is we're no longer striking the waters. We sit here with our little coat. We're not looking for mantles. We're not looking for the mantle of T.F. Tenney. We're not looking for the mantle of T.W. Barnes. You may not have a clue who those people are. They were mighty men of God. We're not looking for the mantle of Nona Freeman. You have everything you need when you repented of your sins. You lifted up holy hands. The Spirit came upon you. You began to speak in other tongues. You have everything you need. You have exactly what you need for a secular society. You have exactly what you need for a Democratic, Republican, whatever it may be, society. You have everything that you could possibly need for a pandemic. You have everything you need for heartbreak. You have everything you need for hurts. You have everything you need. And if you don't have it, you need it. If heaven wasn't enough to need the Holy Ghost, this earth is what needs the Holy Ghost. We need to be Spirit-filled people. We need to walk in the boldness. We need to go into our workplaces wearing the coat of a champion. We need to go into our homes every single day. Fathers, we need to walk into our homes wearing the coat of a champion. We need to show our kids that there are champions still living. I am sick of telling everybody else's testimonies. I wanted my own testimonies. I have seen angels. I have been in prayer meetings where angels came into the room. And I don't care if you think I'm weird. I am living because of a coat that the Lord so graciously put upon my shoulders. I'm not looking for somebody else's anointing. I'm not looking for another good church service. I get to walk in this on Monday. I get to walk on this on Tuesday. I get to experience this in a prayer room on Wednesday. I get to feast on the presence of God on a Thursday. I'm not just waiting for a Sunday. I'm not waiting for a Wednesday. I get to wear this coat 24/7 by the grace of God. What we need is some apostolic people to begin to take the Spirit and start striking the waters. It is time in 2021 to start striking some waters. Grandmothers, it's time for you to keep on praying and pressing into the supernatural. Men, fathers, it is time for us to be true men of God. You are not defined in heaven by how strong you are physically. You are not defined in heaven by how much you make monetarily. You are defined in heaven by how well you can look up. I want to be a father that my kids hear praying. I want to be that father who walks into a pulpit and my kids say, that's just dad. He does that at home. That's not what he does on Sundays. I want my wife to look and honor a man of God. I want my wife to know that she's married to a Holy Ghost filled man. Why? Here's why. Because I don't know if you've thought about heaven lately, but I can't stop thinking about it. Ryan, all I've thought about for 3 years is heaven. So excuse me while I just walk in the Spirit. Because all I can think about is that heavenly place. You know why? I got a 3-year-old up there who I never got to show how to throw a football to. I never got to explain to him how to cast a fishing line. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to part heaven one day. Heaven's going to split open. That eastern sky is going to call me up. And I'm going to go up and I'm going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Me and my family. And what I'm going to do is the first person I'm going to is Jesus. And I'm going to go and I'm going to wrap my arms around that champion. And I'm going to say, thank you. I overcame the world. I had the opportunity to live above sin because of you. Thank you for not being an MVP. Thank you for not hoarding up this champion coat. Thank you for sending it down in Acts 2. Thank you for sending that to me. Thank you, Paul, for writing scriptures at Colossians 3 and Galatians 5. Thank you for writing Romans 3, where you said, put upon yourself, put on the Spirit. That's what I've been trying to do. Thank you for encouraging me. Thank you for the written word of God. But Lord, thank you, Jesus. Now show me, where's my son? And in heaven, I'm going to go and I'm going to pick up Levi, and I'm going to take Levi, Gideon, I'm going to take Ezra and Eleanor, and all of us are going to go, and we're going to walk right past, the Bible says in Isaiah 14, we're going to walk past a prison cell, and in that prison cell is going to be our adversary. And here, this is the scary thing. The devil doesn't like you to know this. The Bible says in the future, we're going to look upon him and say, is this the man? Is this the man? We need to start getting that mentality now. Is this the man? What the devil always does is he makes situations look bigger than he is to intimidate and make us fear. But when we realize that, we're going to look upon him and say, really? This is what caused all the trouble to the nations, it says in Isaiah 14. And it goes on and says, he's trampled down. So I'm not even going to spend any time with him. I'm going to walk right past him. I'm going to look him for a brief moment. And there's no gloating in heaven. I'm just going to look at him and say, you thought you were going to destroy us? When the Lord put upon me the mantle, I have been filled with the Spirit, and I'm here, and I'm going to take my son, who I never got to show how to cast a fishing line, and I'm going straight to a throne, and around the throne is going to be a bunch of elders, and we're going to hit our knees, and the Lord's going to say, here's a crown of suffering. And I'm going to say, oh, Lord, no, I have no business wearing a crown in your presence. Lord, you wore the ultimate crown on Calvary. And I'm going to look at Levi and say, look, let me show you how to cast crowns. And I'm going to cast my crown at the feet of Jesus. This is what we're looking for. But the Bible tells us we get no access to that unless we can listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 22. Listen to what it says, Matthew 22, 9 through 14. It says, therefore, this is Jesus speaking, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, the king is Jesus, by the way, in this parable. He said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? How did you come in here without no coat? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called to this place, but not everybody's going to be chosen. He's not saying that he was selective. He was not saying that he was exclusive. He was saying, I'm going to have everybody hear the gospel, and not everybody's going to receive the gospel. Not everybody's going to look up, and not everybody's going to give access to what's descending down. You know what's happening in this hour? We're like those two soldiers that were at the foot of the cross who were throwing dice trying to get the mantle of Jesus. The Bible said that they were playing games at the foot of the cross, and they were fighting over the mantle and completely ignoring the man. I'm going to say that again. In this end time hour, we're going to have people that are playing games at the foot of mercy. Playing games, give us the mantle, give us more miracles, give us more revelation. Preach to me, preacher. And the Lord's going to be sitting there humbly silent. Am I not enough? Put upon yourselves me. If those soldiers that were at the foot of the cross that were tossing dice to get Jesus' mantle had known that in 50 days they would have gotten something far better than that mantle that they were throwing dice for, They would have put everything up and they would have looked at him and said, tell us what to do until you send it. That's what we need. We need to seek the man. We need more intense prayer meetings. We need church services where people come in and you don't even need preaching. We just come in here and we say, I'm so desperate for him. And we lift up our hands. We don't even need music. You know what music is? You know what three songs, offering, a four song, and preaching are? Those are opportunities. That's not a schedule. Those are opportunities. I could touch the Lord on the first song. I could feel his presence and I could feel him descend on high. Oh, it didn't happen. Second song is another opportunity. But hear me, what we turn church into is a movie. Act one, act two, act three, act four, act five. And what's happened is we're bored with the movie. We don't even want to watch it anymore because we know the ending. You know this service. You know that this is going to end in an altar call when it could happen right now. But altar calls only happen for the hungry. So this is my plea. I'm not going to preach another word. I want to know, where are the hungry people at? Where are the people that need the help of his spirit? Where are the people that recognize, God, I'm nothing without you? This is the altar call right here. Do you want it or not? Because it only falls upon those that are willing to get their eyes off of everything going around them and they set their eyes on high. Thank you. Come on. These altars are open if you want to run to them. Today, I'm not going to do the conventional. I want a move of the Holy Ghost. I want the Lord to see how desperate I am for him. I want him to know how much I love him. I want him to know how desperate I am to seek his face. Come on, lift up your voices. No reservations. Come on, no reservations. Let's cry out unto him like we actually need him. Come on, if you are plagued with problems, if you are plagued with a sin that just won't quit, what you need is the coat. What you need is the man. He will send his spirit. He doesn't send an extension of himself. He comes down himself and he fills you with his own life-giving spirit. What you need is not a mantle. What you need is the man. He is here. If you need a healing in your body, I feel that faith has been stirred. I feel that the Lord stirred in me faith. I want you to stretch forth your hands and believe for it. Not looking for a miracle. You're not looking to just life be easy. You're looking for God to perform an extravagant miracle in your life so that you can go and tell somebody in the world who's lost that God still performs miracles. The point of miracles is to preach the gospel. So right now, if you're willing to preach the gospel and to testify of a healer, I want you to stretch forth your hand. The Lord's going to heal you. If you're here today and you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, today is the day. Stretch forth your hands. Repent. Turn from everything you know is sin and walk towards him. He's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Musicians, if you'll come, cry out. Come on, that's it. That's it. Come on, please don't be reserved. Not when the Lord's in the room. It was on this day, 2,000 years ago, where some desperate people could have been killed for doing what they did. But they went and they gathered palm branches and they waved them before a champion. They could have been in prison. It was blasphemy to worship a God like that. Let's not be reserved 2,000 years later. Let's do the same thing by giving him a wave offering, lifting up our voices and saying, Hosanna, 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 you are the king, you are the victor, you are the champion, you've never been defeated. This is Palm Sunday. Let us show God that he is still investing in the right people. Let's show him that there are people still on this planet that are hungry for him. Come on, I'm begging you, don't be reserved right now. I can feel some of you are reserved. Let that out. Let that out. Not for the preaching. I don't need you to worship because of the preaching. I need you to worship God because he's here and he is worthy of the praise. These altars are open. These altars are open. If you need the Holy Ghost, come to these altars. Singers are about to start singing. We're going to usher the presence of God into this room. But God comes looking for the hungry. The Bible said His eyes look to and fro throughout the earth. He's looking for people. He's looking for people such that would praise Him. The Bible says when He returns, will He find faith? Come on, show Him that there is faith in this room. Go ahead, sing.
I need.
Get in a hurry right here. There's a presence of God that's in the room. There's a sweet, sweet move of His Spirit here. Come on, stretch forth your hands and talk to Him. He's here. He's waiting. Come on, if you're a prayer warrior in here, begin to pray. The Lord's trying to convince us of what His church is here on the earth. The church is not weak. The church is strong because of His Spirit. We don't do this by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. And there are people in this room that are wearing His Spirit right now. He has put it upon you. You've put on Christ. Now lift up your hands. Begin to speak to Him. Proclaim into the heavens what God is capable of doing. Come on, there you go. There you go. Come on, if you're in here and you're plagued with turmoil, there's anxiety in this room. There's healing. I can feel virtue here. There's true virtue flowing through the room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. With nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in here today and you've been battling anxiety, specifically anxiety, multiple people here, I want you to come to these altars today. Not because there's more power up here than where you're sitting, but because you're stepping out by faith and you're believing that the Lord's going to touch you today. I believe there's virtue in this place and the Lord's going to begin to heal some emotions. I feel some emotional turmoil. You've been battling some things. I want you to just come to these altars. There's nobody looking at you. Nobody's even going to judge you because they're not even looking. Just some things that you've been fighting, some things you've been fighting, some turmoil. The Lord's going to send forth a healing here today. I can feel it in this room. There's virtue. Now, all of you with your head still bowed, eyes closed, I want you to begin to pray into heaven. And I want you, the church prays together. This is what we do. We're a body of believers. We're a body of believers. So right now, I want you to lift up your voices. Lift up your voices. I'm going to say that 1,000 more times. Lift up your voices. The highest part of man is the tongue. That is the part that God equipped to praise Him with. Only your mouth can praise Him. What you're doing is you're giving God what He will not give Himself. God will not praise Himself. He created mankind for that. There you go. Come on. Lift that up. Lift that up. He inhabits the praises of His people. So in order for there to be an inhabitation, there has to be a praise in the house. There you go. That's it. You're in the Spirit, sis. You're in the Spirit. I want y'all to begin to sing again. Y'all are praying in the Spirit now. You're going to begin to sing in the Spirit. Come on, that's it. That's it. Thank you.